Well, I know for a fact that Brother Aaron did not know what I was preaching about this morning. But the last phrase of that song goes so well with what we're going to get into this morning. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Let's open with prayer. Father, thank you for this beautiful morning. Lord, thank you for your promises and your kindness to us, Lord. Thank you for your word that's so full of everything that we need for life, for godliness, and it's all ours through Christ Jesus. Lord, I thank you for your provision, your abundant provision, more than we need to live and to walk in a way that pleases you. Lord, draw us close this morning. Open your word to our hearts and our minds. In your precious name I pray. Amen. We have recently talked about belief versus unbelief. We've talked about what we dwell on, what our minds rest on. We've talked about all these different things, what we're thinking about. And now I kind of want to go back behind that a little bit. And we're going to get started this morning with this, and we'll see. I'm thinking it's probably going to be at least two sermons probably. But what are these things that you and I are supposed to believe? What are these things that we ought to think on? What are the things that we ought to be basing our faith and our belief on? And what do those mean in my life, in reality? What do those mean when I'm going through a situation? How do I apply those to my life in a way that's beneficial and helpful? So we're going to start this morning in 2 Peter chapter 1. And this is just a beautiful, beautiful passage. 2 Peter chapter 1, we're going to begin with verse 3. He says, "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue." Everything you and I could possibly need for life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us, verse 4, exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world. Now I want to focus in a little bit on this phrase, by these, because he says we've been given these great, precious, amazing promises, and somehow he says, by those are a tool in your toolbox. By those you are to war your warfare. By those you are to live this out. By those you are, he says, made a partakers of the divine nature and escape the corruption of the world through lust. So this is a key piece of weaponry, right? If this is something that we're supposed to be using and having in our arsenal, by these, he says, this is your tool. This is your means to an end, so to speak. By these, you can be made partakers of the divine nature and escape the corruption that is in the world. By these, you can fight a good fight. You can war a good warfare. Now, Peter here is stating this very powerfully, as powerfully in a lot of ways, as powerfully as human speech can state this, but it still falls so short. These great and precious promises, it still falls so short of containing the value and the depth and the pertinency that these things have to our experience, to our life. The sheer worth of these promises that God has given. And God says, hey, these are tools. These promises, they're not just something that's supposed to make you feel warm and fuzzy and go, oh, that's nice, God cares about me. These are supposed to be something that helps you to fight. that helps you to walk, that helps you to attain and to accomplish God's purpose and desire in your life, to be conformed to His image. He says, how does he word it here? Is to be partakers of the divine nature. That's to become like Christ, to be conformed to His image, and to escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. So to stay pure, to stay holy. These are your tools, he says. These great and precious promises, they're not just given so that you can feel good. They're not just given so that you can look and go, oh, God loves me. They're given to you as tools that by these, you can accomplish the work that God set before you. By these, you can fight a good fight. So what are these promises? There's hundreds, if not thousands, of promises of God in Scripture. And there's no way we're going to look at nearly all of them. A lot of them overlap. So we're going to hit some of the high points, and we're going to take our time, and we're going to see what all we find. But I want to point out at the beginning here, most of these promises in Scripture, most of the promises of God have certain conditions, right? That doesn't make them less great and precious, but rather gives us the tools by which we can secure the help that is promised. It gives us the tools to say, okay, it's not just some vague, thing floating out there in the ether going, okay, how do I get that though? But God says, hey, this is how that promise applies to your life. So, oh, okay, now I can get a handle on it to actually say, hey, how do I get this powerful promise of God whose word cannot lie and whose word never changes? How do I get that applied to me? How do I get that acting and moving and having an effect in my life? That's what the conditions and the clauses are, is giving us that information, giving us that key to unlock and say, how do I get that promise working and moving and acting inside of my life? Here's the key. The key is the clause or the condition on which that promise hinges. So the clause or the condition doesn't make it less great and precious, right? These great and precious promises, I'm missing a word, exceeding great and precious promises. It doesn't make them any less exceedingly great or less exceedingly precious because there's a condition or a clause set there. Rather, that is the means by which these things can be used to help us achieve and fight the good fight. By these things, by these promises. We often think that we're going to accomplish that next level in our spiritual growth or that next level of purity, holiness, righteousness, the life of Christ being lived out and manifested in us. It's very easy and natural for us to think we're going to achieve that by trying a little harder, or we're going to achieve that by just gritting our teeth a little bit tighter, right? Because surely I'm supposed to be able to just make it happen somewhere along the line. God wouldn't tell me to do it if I wasn't able to just squeeze a little harder and make it happen, right? Jesus says, be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. I can tell you for a fact, you will never accomplish that by squeezing a little bit harder and waking up a little bit earlier, trying a little bit more passionately. You're never going to accomplish that by just sheer willpower. You're never going to accomplish that by just more sweat and tears and blood. So where's the key? Where's the answer? Peter says, hey, these great and precious, these exceeding great and precious promises, they're the key. By these you can accomplish. By these you can war a good warfare. So the conditions are actually a blessing because we're not just trying to find some arbitrary code, right? We're not trying to crack some impossible unknown code. Well, how do I get at me as a finite human being? How do I get the infinite power of God working and moving in my life? Do I have to chant some spell? Do I have to know the right secret hidden knowledge? Like, well, how do I get this? So the conditions, the clauses, those are the keys to unlock these promises. And we're going to start with the most beginning one. And this isn't the first one in Scripture, but it's a very powerful one that is, in our lives, in our experience, the one that you have to get first before all the others, right? So Romans 10:13, and this is by far not the only place in Scripture that conveys this idea, but he says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." What a powerful, amazing promise. You and I, who rightly deserve hell and judgment and all that could be meted out to us, people like to talk about, you deserve, you know, you see all the TV ads, you hear all the radio ads, you know, you deserve a, you know, type of insurance that makes you feel comfortable. You deserve this and you deserve that. You and I, honestly, what do we deserve? We deserve the judgment of righteous, holy God who created us to have a relationship with Him. And we spat in His face and said, nah, I want to do my thing. We said, you know what? The Garden of Eden, this perfect world that you created, that's not good enough for me. All the gifts, all the kindness that you've lavished and poured out on me, you know, I think maybe there's something more. I think maybe there's something I'm missing. And we said, like a little child, me wants to do what me wants to do. And we made ourselves the enemies of God. And God, who already invested so much into us in creating us and creating this universe for us to be blessed by and to enjoy, on top of all of that, says, you know what? You can't restore yourself. It's impossible. I'm going to make a way. I'm going to pay that sin debt that if you labored painstakingly carefully all your life, you would never even scratch the surface of the down payment for that debt. He says, I'm going to pay it. A righteous, holy judge, he can't just say, oh, don't worry about it, right? But he says, I'm going to pay it. I'm going to pay that debt you could never, ever pay. He says, I've opened up a way of salvation. You can be saved. You can be restored. You can be purchased back. You can have relationship, friendship, family relationship with the Creator of the universe, with God Himself. You can be restored to favor. You never could on your own. I never could on my own, but you can. And this is a great promise. He says, you shall be saved. What's the clause? You have to call. You have to call. He says, he goes on, he says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call in Him in whom they've not believed? Right? And he goes on, how shall they believe if they've not heard? How shall they hear unless someone preaches to them? So this call is based on faith. You have to have the faith to come, and you have to call out. And what's this great, exceeding great and precious promise? You shall be saved. You shall be restored, renewed, a new, brand new creature in Christ Jesus. How do I get there? It's so complicated. It's so overwhelming. How do I get to that point? There's no way that me, as a fallen, frail, weak, sinful human being can be restored and can be saved. He says, here's a great, exceeding great and precious promise. You shall be saved. Here's the clause. Here's the condition on which you can have that promise applied to your life. You have to reach out and call in faith. That's so simple. It's so simple that many people live their lives jumping over it, stepping over it every single day because they like Naaman says, I'm not going to go dip in the river of Jordan. That seems too easy. That seems too basic. And God's simply looking for him to be obedient. God's simply looking for him to say, hey, it doesn't make sense to me. It can't possibly work, but if you said it, I'll trust you. And here, and all through scripture, God says, hey, I've opened up this way of salvation. You need to come and ask for it. You need to come and say, hey, that salvation that you purchased and paid for, that you have sitting there waiting to lavish on me, I'll take that. I want that. You don't have to impress him or somehow earn his favor. You don't have to somehow do some pilgrimage crawling over a mile of glass on your knees or walking barefoot over coals. You don't have to do something to impress him in order for him to say, okay, yeah, I see that you really want salvation, so I'll give it to you. He says, it's so simple. I will give it to you. This great, exceeding great and precious promise that you can be saved and restored to peace with God. You want the key? Ask. Call out to me in faith. It's that simple. It's that simple. Do you want it? Come and ask for it. I've got it freely, abundantly available. When Christ died on the cross, he didn't number off and say, okay, my righteousness, my blood can pay for 250,000 people's sins, and you better, you know, the early bird gets the worm, so get in the door. I hope there's enough left for you. No, it's limitless. All who will come, whosoever will. Does it apply to me? Absolutely. If you'll call in faith. If you'll come to him in faith and say, Lord, I believe that you can supply that need. I believe you've already paid for what I need. The promise is mind-blowing, mind-boggling that God will freely give you a 100% pardon. Not only for all the sins that are past, but for all the sins that you and I have yet to commit. It's free. It's amazing. This promise, it's not comprehensible. I cannot possibly wrap my mind around this kind of a promise that God Almighty, who is perfectly holy and just and eternal, would say, you can be 100% completely, fully forgiven for free. I paid for it all. You don't need to do anything in order to be in my good graces. You don't need to earn it. You don't need to somehow work it up. It's free. It's free. It's yours for the asking. This promise it's mind-blowing. And if you and I don't grasp how magnificent and how over the top this promise is, it's because we haven't yet grasped how badly fallen we are. How desperately needy of a Savior we are. That we don't have, what's the saying? We don't have the chance of a snowball in hell. Of earning even the slightest drop of the grace and mercy and forgiveness that we need on our own. not the tiniest atom of the grace and forgiveness that you and I need can we possibly ever earn or achieve. Not a bit of it. None of it. And until you and I realize and understand how desperately fallen, how desperately, miserably short we are, we're not really going to grasp and understand just how exceeding great and precious this promise is. This promise is you who are less than to you and I a cockroach. To you and I, the difference between you and I and a cockroach or a little larva, a little writhing larva that you get, the most disgusting creature that we could imagine, the distance we perceive ourselves above that is not even a mark on the scale of the distance between God Almighty and us in our filthiness and our sin. And yet, for Him to say, hey, I've paid for it all. It's here. It's available. It's free. I purchased it. That's an exceeding great and precious promise for Him to say, hey, you will be saved. You will be restored. Come and ask. Believe me and ask for it. Call on the name of the Lord in faith. By these great and precious promises, we can be made partakers of the divine nature. By these promises, this promise, just the first one, you will be saved. You will be made part of the family of God. All you got to do is come and call. Say, Lord, that's me. I'm needy. And I need you. Lord, this forgiveness, this grace, this kindness, this mercy that you say you have abundantly, far above what I could need on my account. I need that. I'll take all you can give me because I need it. I see myself as a fallen, broken, miserable being. In need of a savior, not just a buddy, not just a hero, but a holy, eternal, infinite savior who's able not just to forgive and to cleanse me from my past unrighteousness, but to walk with me and help me because I am washed when I come to the Lord and I call on Him. And He saves me. I'm washed. But how long will that last if I'm not continuing to be washed? Will you give me 0.5 hundredths of a second? Will you give it? If I just got my account reset to zero, I'd be back in the same shape so fast I couldn't even blink. For God to say, hey, I paid it all. He's not just saying, I paid everything you've already done. Because that's a big stack. I don't want to see my file. I don't want to see my file. But I will also pay for all that you're going to need covered and paid for. I will also grant you the grace and the strength and the mercy and the power to live above it, to walk out the Christ life, to have the divine nature begin to take and change your nature, to have the power to escape from the corruption that is in the world through lust, to have what I need. It's all in the package that He purchased, paid for it all. This is truly an exceeding great and precious promise for Him to present to you and I and say, hey, here it is. How can I get that put on my account? God, I realize I need it. How do I get that put on my account? You say it's free. How do I sign up? Where do I sign up? Is it really free? Or is it like a 1 in 2 billion chance, like the lottery? Like, oh, if you invest in the lottery, you're going to win money. No, you're not. You could win money. Figure out your chances. How many other people are playing the lottery? That's not the kind of a salvation or a promise that God's setting forth here. He's saying, hey, it's free. Not just if you jump through all the right hoops and happen to be the one lucky person out of however many million. It's free. Period. How do I get signed up for that? How do I get that applied to my account? Believe and call. It's so simple. It's so simple. And I trip over it every day. It's so foreign to our mindset. It's so foreign to our experience. It's so foreign to the way the world works, right? I might even get the chance someday. I never have, and I probably never will, but maybe someday I'll get the chance to meet someone who's a billionaire or a trillionaire like Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos. What is the chance that someone like that is going to go, hey, you need something? I've got plenty. Oh, well, how do I get it? You just ask. Really? I can just say, hey, I'd like to have $1.5 million. Oh yeah, here you go. What? But yet that pales to nothing in comparison to the gift that God is standing there every day offering. Come and ask. Come and ask! But it's so hard for our minds to say, really? You gotta be kidding. There's gotta be a catch, right? Nobody's giving away something for free that's actually got value. You can't even get free dirt most of the time. And the whole world is made of it. You can't even get free dirt most of the time. People, guys, whip a UE so fast you wouldn't believe it when they see a sign that says free dirt. Cause that's amazing. And that's just dirt. How much more the couple of million or couple of billion dollars that this man has spent his life amassing and building? How much more complete, full pardon from a righteous, holy, eternal, infinite God? And yet every single day He is offering it to any and all who will believe on Him and call on His name. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Whosoever. Absolutely anybody who will call upon the name of the Lord in faith shall be saved. Completely. Freely. Fully. Do we grasp how mind-bogglingly exceeding great and precious that promise alone is. That's only one of hundreds, if not thousands, in Scripture that we breeze right past every day, right? And they're like, oh yeah, that's great. There's so many promises in the Bible. That's wonderful. Peter says, hey, you can use that to actually become conformed to the image of Christ. You can use that to actually overcome the filth that you're swimming in, that you're born in. You're born in a cesspool. And God is handing out for free promises that will free you from it, will redeem you, will remake you from the inside out on a molecular level. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. End of sentence. End of sentence. It's amazing. I feel like there should be some kind of a clause in there, like, well, if you call, you can maybe be entered into a drawing to be saved, right? No. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. As Brother Glenn would say, full stop. That's it. That's the promise. Let's pray. Father, truly, your grace, your mercy, your forgiveness, your salvation, it's so far beyond our understanding. It's so far beyond our full grasp and comprehension. Lord, it's amazing. It's an exceeding great and precious promise, and it's only the first one we're looking at. Exceeding great and precious promise that if we will call in faith and believe, you will save us for free, completely, fully, entirely. Lord, teach us to lean with faith on your promises, Lord, that by these we might be made partakers of the divine nature and escape the corruption that is in the world. Lord, that by these we might war a good warfare. In your precious name, amen.